Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a super week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by George McCoy at WarrenAllen.com.
On 1080 The Fan.
Portland Trailblazers have won 8 of their last 9 games. You have seen inspired performances by DeAndre Ayton. Denny Avdia has been playing lights out basketball for the Blazers.
I think you could basically just say everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's as crazy as that
Scoot
sounds.
Henderson. Like,
legitimately, everybody's played well during the stretch.
Yeah. And even like Ant last night wasn't spectacular from a scoring output.
No.
Did everything that you need, though, to facilitate.
One of his better floor games.
Hot hands, yeah. Though. And they're playing good basketball. And the question has got to be, in a year that development was key, right? And that was long discussed. You look at who played last night. And I think last night's a good indicator. Tight game throughout the entirety of it. Okay, it goes into overtime. It's nip and tuck. What did that rotation look like? Only 8 guys played last night.
Yeah, the rotation has definitely been shortened down over the last 2 weeks. There's no doubt about that.
And coming off the bench, you had Donovan Kling with 10 minutes, Shaedon Sharpe with 19, and Scoot Henderson with 22. Everybody else, the starting 5, they played over 40 minutes last night.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be noted, overtime game, that's a 53-minute game. Okay?
Yeah. So you get an additional 5 minutes. I know where you're going to go with this as far as like Shaedon and Scoot. But Shaedon didn't play long because he wasn't good last night.
Like no.
That's the whole thing. That's the thing that they're trying to instill. And Scoot didn't play because they went with Ant down the stretch to open the floor for Denny and two. Like that and NDA. That's the way Phoenix and Bud decided to cover the Trailblazers last night was to double and trap and force Anfernee Simons to get off the ball at 40 feet, which puts them in rotation early, which allows DA to roll and have some space. It allows Denny to get downhill. It allows two to be the guy on the backside corner to knock down threes. And by God, did he last night? 5 of 6 from 3, 4 of 5 in the second half. But look at the I don't think you can look at each game and go, but they didn't do this here. They didn't do that here. Look at what they have been over the last 9 games. These are your minutes. Tumani Kamara, 36. DeAndre Ayton, 36. Anfernee Simons, 34. Denny Avdia, 34. Jeremy Grant, 32. Scoot Henderson, 27. Shaedon Sharpe, 27. They're playing 27 minutes a night.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. It's absolutely entirely fine. The additional 3 minutes does not matter.
Yeah.
Does not matter. You are not getting any more good, any more bad, anything out of that. As long as they are being given the opportunity to play every single night, think about that. If Shaedon Sharpe played 19 minutes last night and his minute average is still at 27, that means he's been above that because you're talking about a less than 10-game sample.
What do we think about, though? Again, Donovan Kling playing 20-plus minutes is not feasible. 10 seems low. 10 seemed very low.
Well, the problem was when they tried to go with him out there, he just was having a ton of trouble. He's still not comfortable leaving the paint. And you saw him get stuck on Beal. You saw him get stuck on Booker out on the perimeter. And it's deer in headlights type stuff. And it was like, well, he needs to learn. No, he needs to watch a lot of tape and needs to work on his footwork. He needs to work on his conditioning before he can get out there so he doesn't have bad minutes. That's where he needs to be. Like, if you get him out there against the team.
I think what you're saying right now, though, development does not mean minutes.
No, and it does not translate to on court. More often than not, development happens behind the scenes, and you don't see it for a very long time.
And that's where I go back to this team is not operating as a team that is tanking. Because teams that are tanking,
no,
development does mean just minutes, throw it out, roll the ball out, we'll see where we are.
And this is this is not me just gassing at the Blazers. This is what I said coming into the season. The way they're playing right now, not necessarily the wins, but coming into the season, what did I say? You want Anthony Simons out there so you have room for Denny Avdia, for Tumani Kamara, for DeAndre Ayton. Like, those are the opportunities that you have alongside that. And when Scoot Henderson's out there, you want Jeremy Grant on the floor working on the backside so that there is space for Scoot Henderson to drive the lane and find DeAndre Ayton on lobs. Like, it's doing the things that you wanted to see. It's just that it's also translating into wins because their defense has been one of the best defenses in the league for the past 2 weeks.
Okay. And now, why is it, and that's the reason why this is turning into wins instead of, because look, we came into this year saying defensively they were bad.
Yeah.
And they did not have 3-point shooting. Like, those were the two, mm-hmm. those were the two 100%. Big, massive red flags that were, this is why they won't win games. Well, that's kind of changing.
I 100% agree.
And even though they're not shooting lights out from three in every single game, it's the defensive end is really picking up the slack on that.
The defense has been phenomenal. And actually, I'm just sorted. So from January 1st on, let's see, where did they go? I lost them.
But in the grand scheme of things, the trade deadline, how much is playing into the trade deadline as we look at this to guys like, you know, that idea that fans have, which I don't think is, I do not believe that this is a truth across the board that the Blazers franchise mm-hmm. and the players themselves are showcasing themselves for the trade deadline.
I've never believed that stuff.
But if you want to hear DeAndre Ayton, I thought that this really rang true in the postgame when he was talking with Brooke Olsendam. Listen to what he said, and you tell me, is this a guy trying to showcase himself for a trade?
That's what we do. I mean, I can't even say it enough. The fans really gave us the energy tonight and just got us amped up. We even came out a little slow, but the fans made sure. We made sure we stayed on our A game, and I just love it. My teammates had my back talking to me all night. I keep telling you, Brooke, I love it here.
I keep telling you, Brooke, I love it here. Mm-hmm. Like, when he said that, I was like, okay, this is everybody, and this is everybody from a fan standpoint, is you need to trade any combination of DeAndre Ayton, Jeremy Grant, Robert Williams, Anthony Simons. Mm-hmm. And they look at this stretch right now and say, oh, this is a showcase for the trade deadline. It doesn't feel like it.
I don't think that's ever the case.
When you hear Chauncey speak, when mm-hmm. you hear the players speak after games, that's not what they're signaling.
No. I don't ever believe that, like, the showcase for trade. Everybody's like, you know, Rob's sitting down, he's getting traded. Rob's playing, he's not getting traded. It's like, no, not every single thing that is out there is indicative of trade deadline stuff. And the only time someone gets sat for a trade is if they're about to be traded right then. Or there is a deal currently under, like, in the framework that is being done, i.e. Josh Hart, who gets traded before tip-off. Like,
well, in that's like, everybody said this, Jeremy Grant comes back from the face, mm-hmm. Whatever it was, facial bruise, whatever.
Contusion. Sure.
And then he goes out with a rolled ankle, and everybody's like, bah, there it is.
He's getting traded. It's like, no,
he actually did roll his ankle, yeah. Sat out one game, and he's been back and playing.
Yeah, he tried to continue playing. I mean, we all saw the guy fall on his leg.
Don't worry about
that. Yeah, it's just like, come on, guys.
Don't worry about that.
Be a little bit more media literate with the stuff. As it pertains to trade stuff in general, I have no reason to believe that the Blazers are either shopping DeAndre Ayton or have they received calls on him. Like, I've said, if anything is going to be visited about that, I don't think that happens until this summer.
But doesn't this put you in a really tough position? Because right now, everything is working. Chauncey Billups is coaching his ass off, mm-hmm. and the guys are responding and continue to respond. This puts you in limbo. This puts you in the spot where you're not good enough to be in that top five.
No.
And the more that they win, the odds go further and further away from you. And you've said this, like, hey, getting into the top three isn't going to happen. No. Well, now we're like, top five ain't going to happen. And that is the slippery slope, because your odds exponentially go down mm-hmm. to jump everybody else in the draft lottery. And you've said, I'll start getting concerned at 22 wins.
Yep,
they're at 21 and 29 mm-hmm. right now.
No, like I said, yeah, 100%.
I mean, and that is a spot where, look, how do you get that star to get over the hump? Because you're not going to – this team as it is, it's fun to watch them play really well right
now.
But
you can see that they're missing something.
There is a massive ceiling, and it's a very low one that you're going to hit your head on very soon.
Yeah, and I think they do know that. But, again, this is the whole, like, when you're on the ground level, when you're talking to people or on the organization, you're talking to players, you're talking to coaches, like, they all know the deal. But they're not going to go out there and lose.
No, players and coaches don't.
And even organizationally. If organizationally you're talking about, you know, you want your guys to learn how to win and not be stuck in the muck and to show development, what do you do when they start showing that development? Shaedon Sharpe has contributed to a lot of wins recently. Scoot Henderson has contributed to a lot of wins recently. Tumani Kamara, Denny Avdia. I mean, those two guys have contributed to a metric crap ton of wins going forward. Like, you're getting exactly what you want. Just because you as a fan want to see the minute log look different, like, organizationally, they're accomplishing their goals of getting their guys to show real growth.
Yeah.
And to them, that's the thing. This, for better or worse, that is something they have always kind of preferred, the one in hand over two in the bush situation. Like, look at the transactions that they've made where they haven't prioritized picks, they've prioritized players. Now, would they like to have some more draft capital to get their war chest so that they can go trade for another Danny Avdia or another fringe, you know, all-star type player shakes free and they can go get that guy? Like, those, like, sure, I think they would like those things.
But that doesn't get you to a competitive
Trust me, I get
level.
It. I think that they should, after the all-star break, should be steering into the skid and sitting all the vets.
Yeah.
Unequivocally.
Do we think that'll happen?
I'm pretty certain that they will.
Yeah. And that's the hard part.
But I didn't expect them to win 8 of 9.
Right. Right. And that, like, that's the part that is hard to navigate through, right? This is supposed to be they've gotten to a point where they've made enough savvy moves to get you to a point where it's not just competent basketball. They could play really good basketball in stretches.
And that's the thing. It's like,
how long does this hold for?
Think about this. They've won 8 of 9 and they're 21-29.
Yeah.
Like, they're not, you can zoom back out and also go, yeah, that's, you know, the likelihood of this being sustainable and this being like the best version of them being the, you know, like, if this is the actual best version, like, they're just good.
And
they're plucky, but they're not.
There's no pathway though to be great. And that's like, that was the whole point of trading Damian Lillard.
Hoping and praying.
Is getting to a point where, all right, how do we get to great? Because they went from very good with Dame.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get to great?
Yeah.
Which is getting over that hump. And you can't do it unless you have a superstar player. You can't get a superstar player unless you sign him in free agency. We know that's not happening in Portland. Or you draft them.
Or you trade for them.
Somehow you trade for them.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, you look at this roster and you say, all right, you could trade all of your pieces and you could get a star back. But then everything around him is not going to be good enough to be a great team. And
which
so
is why I think
that's why you have to go through the draft.
You've got reporting from Jovan Buha talking about how the Blazers are flagging that they won an unprotected first round pick for Robert Williams III because they
Lakers writers.
Yeah.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, you know,
a Lakers writer is saying that.
Well, like again, I've been trying to tell people they're not taking seconds for Robert Williams III.
No.
Ding, 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 ding. But the reason that they're saying this stuff is if they're going to trade a guy that they believe in, kind of going forward, they want a premium asset for it, and then they take that premium asset and they go flip it for something else.
And the slippery slope in that is that can turn very quickly into overvaluing your assets,
for sure,
like Neil Olshey did for several years. And that's what you hope does not.
The one pushback is I have yet to hear a deal that was offered where I was like, oh, God, they should have taken that. Where under Neil Olshey, there were multiple deals that I had sourced from multiple people that he absolutely passed up on deals that he should have taken.
And I feel like I need to have the disclaimer of the separation between the person of Neil Olshey and the way he operated business.
Yes.
Because Joe Cronin is not either of them right now. But if you get into that operation mode of operating business and overvaluing your assets to a point where you get nothing out of them, then that's where it becomes an issue.
No, 100%. Look, the second I hear about, you know, a deal that they passed up on that I think that they should have taken, I will 100% you will hear from me in the exact same manner.
Hey, something you said yesterday, it came to light, and Anthony Edwards of the Minnesota Timberwolves damn near said it word for word, what you were signaling after the Luka Doncic trade on Saturday. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.